You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
In this episode, Chris Cree leads a session called Business Blogging 101 at Blog Savannah, an unconference which took place January 26, 2007 in Savannah, Georgia.
Hey guys, this is the Business Blogging 101 session.
Okay, that's something
with the previous session, which was Blogging 101. So, as people come in, we'll give them some handouts. Just to give you a little background, my name is Chris Cree. You most?
Sure.
My background, business-wise, is operations. I'm in the maritime industry by training. I deal with ships. I deal with ships and cargo. I've been doing that for a long time, and I don't sleep much. Like a lot of the folks around here I've talked to today, everybody's trying to do too much, and none of us sleep enough. So I'm right there with you. I also have been blogging for about a year and a half or so. To give you some feel, for those of you who aren't as familiar with blogging, when I started as just a hobby, just to play with it, there were about 14 or 15 million blogs tracked by Technorati. Now their last count I saw was about 64 million. So it's grown a lot in the last short while. That doesn't make me the end-all, be-all expert, but I've always looked at it from an approach of how can this apply to people's businesses. My wife and I have a few things going on. For those of you who don't know, Lisa, sitting over there in the corner, is the managing director of the local Eastman Network chapter. My wife knows everybody in town, and she introduces a lot of them to me, and I go, hi, and I forget who you are, and I apologize for that. So, what I'd like to do is try to get a feel for where people are at. There's a lot of laptops around, so there's a lot of people who already are blogging and understand blogging. Maybe you're looking for it to how it can apply to business. How many people in the room are active bloggers already? About a third. How many read blogs on a regular basis? That's the same third.
How many people have BlackBerries? That same third.
How many folks are new to the whole blogging scene or are trying to figure out what all this is, the buzz is about? That's a different third. And the rest of you are somewhere in between, I'm assuming. And that's good. You guys that were in the blogging 101 session, and for anybody else, what is some of the differences between a blog and a static website? Most businesses have a static website these days. What are some of the major differences?
Changes frequently.
The blog changes frequently versus the static website, which is
static.
All right, that's a big difference.
Cost.
Personal.
I'll say that again.
It's personal.
The blogs are personal. Cost.
Interactivity.
The interactivity. Go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, I think the word blog is being used incorrectly by a lot of people in Savannah. And, a website on which you are posting your own content or employees in your company are posting what are really marketing messages, that's not a blog. You know, that's a website. You're putting content. You can call it whatever you want. Whereas a blog is when there's a I think you define it as a community of people who are interacting, sharing data, whether it's biased or unbiased or whatever, but it's not just your own marketing arm. You know, that's a website, and whether you put it in like story form or little titles or whatever, or you put it in a blog thing, that's not really what a blog. I think to be a respected blog, I think it's supposed to be where people are coming in who are in a community of interest. It's not just you pumping out your own PR message and
so
calling it a blog.
So what you're saying is it's a two-way communication versus a one-way communication.
Well, it's an open communication. Yeah. It's not just your PR arm. I think in the next section we're going to try to talk about that some, but some people are shaking their heads. That people are saying that this company has a blog, that company has a blog here in Savannah. They're not blogs. They're just websites, you know, with public relations material, but they find staff.
I think one key difference for that, when you're talking about blogging versus public relations, I think they can go hand in glove personally. And we're talking a lot of opinions here because it's all new. So a lot of this isn't hard-tested data. But I'll speak from my opinions, and I just ask permission to be wrong. But I would say that blogging can be a very effective marketing model. And by that, it can also be a very effective PR tool. The difference is some of it is tone. With a traditional website, you're looking at, you know, a more formal, almost like a press release copy. Whereas in a blog, it's going to be a much more conversational and personal copy, but it can still be towards the business interests. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a stylistic difference in that regard, I think. But I think you can have the very same people do it if they're doing it from a different, more personal approach. People are more interested in people than they are in things quite often. We talked about the simplicity of a blog. What are some of the things about it that make it simple for non-technical people to operate? Does anybody know?
The ease with which you can publish.
Can you amplify that a little bit?
Basically, if you've ever used any of the blogging tools, you go to a web page and there's two boxes. You type a title and you type a body and you hit post. And that's all there is to it. And if you want to get geekier, you can do it from a cell phone. You can do it anywhere you've got internet access. You can publish content.
Basically, what it amounts to is if you have the technical wherewithal, the skills to post an email on Hotmail, Yahoo Mail, any web-based email, Gmail, you probably have the technical skills to maintain a blog. You may need some help getting it set up, but there are some simple blogging tools that you can probably even do yourself. From a business perspective, that reduces the costs dramatically when you're talking about being able to communicate with your potential market out there. Because now, one, you get more control over it because you can do it in-house. Two, you've got a much lower cost because you don't have to hire an outside expert to maintain or make changes. So that's a huge difference, I think. One other major difference about a blog versus a static website is the search engine friendliness. Every time we put a blog entry out, the blogging software creates a separate page for it. And search engines like things like websites that are updated frequently. They like websites that have lots of page depth, so they have lots of pages. They like websites that have lots of links to them from other sites. So with a blog, you've got all of that built in naturally. Because it's conversational, you're going to be linking out to other things of interest in your niche. Other people are going to be linking to you because they see something of interest in your niche. The structure of it automatically builds that stack of web pages because of the way it's produced. So search engines are going to look at it more favorably, typically, than a static website, which only has, you know, half a dozen pages, you know, an about page, a contact page, you know, a mission statement page or whatever. So that's another key difference, is that all of a sudden your web real estate, your hosting that you're paying for, is getting a whole lot more return on your investment. Go ahead.
I've been seeing some people with blogs that are hooked into their website.
Absolutely.
That'll drive business to your website.
And they're linked back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You can even set up your blog so that it looks exactly the same. Your style sheet, your format, when you're looking at it, you can't tell the difference. Savannah Now does a lot of good stuff with blogging, with all of their websites. You know, they've got the straight up news, but they've also got blogs. Now they're adding the community stuff into it in the last several months. So that it's just, if you Google Savannah, that's one of the top ones that's going to come up, is Savannah Now.
Well, that's because they're paying for Google Words too. I mean,
there's a lot of things that go into it, but if you look at the free ones, they're still coming up very high in the rankings.
How do you keep people from getting on there and just spouting a bunch of stuff that nobody needs to read.
That's a really good thing. That gets into our next little section where we're talking about comments. We talked about the interactivity, two-way communication. That comes out of the comments sections, all right?
Sure.
We all know what, does everybody understand what a blog comment is, how that works? Where you got a little section where somebody else can come in. You can control who comes in. You can control, you know, basically you can moderate the comments if you like so that you can control some of that. Some of the hazards we talked about of blog commenting, and one of them is complainers and whiners. If you have a company and you provide a service and, I mean, anybody have any customers that you just cannot please?
Yeah. Sure.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of business, right?
Of course.
And as a business person, we've got to deal with those kind of people. There is the risk that those kind of people are going to sabotage your blog. There is the risk that if you have bad business practices, say you have an employee that provides really poor customer service, there's a chance that that customer may come to your blog and tell you about it. Now, is that a bad thing?
No.
That's an open-ended question, right? Yeah. It could be, but you know, if you've got somebody who's providing poor customer service as a business owner, you want to know about it.
Yeah, this is Business 101 blogging. So this is not this session is not about the universal world of free thought.
It's about the risks of blogging.
That's my point. Mm-hmm. This is about building your business, right? That's what we're here to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think that the point that you're on right there is that's the strategic business decision I think you have to make.
Absolutely.
You know, are you really running a blog as particularly anyone 30 under who really is a blogger and knows what they respect in blogging? That's the point that I'm trying to make, is that you have two options in building your business using the web. You can create a website that's got content and value so people come to it. And you can post as many cool things you want, even if it's a real estate site. It could be a dialogue where realtors write things within the firm. But if you're really going to actually run a blog, by definition, that means you're opening it up to anyone that wants to post anything. And doing that, opening yourself up to that.
You don't have to have comments.
That's the point. Thank you. See, listen to her age.
There's a million definitions of what blogs.
And I'm watching her head.
Blogs that don't have comments. I'm like, why is it even
right? Can we stay with this? Because I'm watching her head. I was watching it all morning. This is a clear blogger, and I'm watching her because of her age. And some of us in the room that are older than her, you know, she's a blogger. She's not. You're wasting your time, possibly, if you define that we have a blog, and yet it's not really a blog where everyone can go and you know, complain and whine about your service. So strategically, to build your business, do you really want to have a blog, or do you want to have just a really content-rich website?
And in order to make that decision, you have to understand what the risks are. I would disagree with you slightly on definitions, because there's a huge gray area.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of room in between. And the beauty of it is, because of the simplicity, because of the ability to make changes, you can make adjustments to your
Well, you can edit out the negative ones if you want.
That is one option.
Yes.
Personally, I don't know if it's the best option.
Right.
May I add something?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You are dealing with an open internet. It has nothing to do with age or comments. If they can't comment on your blog, they'll comment to their own and link to you.
Exactly.
If you don't have a blog and give bad service, and you don't have a blog but running a business, and you're not watching the blogosphere, they may be blogging about you, and you don't know it because you're not aware of what's going on.
Folks who don't have blogs, who have businesses, are in one of basically two categories if you don't have a blog. One, people are talking about your business and you don't know about it.
Right.
Is that good for your business? Probably not so much. The other thing that may be happening is that nobody's talking about your business. Is that good for your business? Not so much. You know, so that's why I see blogging as a valuable business tool, because it lets you guide the conversation. You can't control the conversation because it is the internet. And that is a shift in mindset from the PR, you know, traditional business communication,
right,
where the whole idea is to try to control what's being said. And that's not a bad thing, and there's a very good place for it. I don't think that blogging replaces that. I think it's a supplemental, but it does release the control. However, if you choose not to blog, you don't maintain control because somebody else is likely going to blog about it anyway.
Yeah, well, simple example of what you're talking about. I see these laptops. Let's pull something out of the air. Let's assume there weren't a lot of laptops around, that we were in a very gentrified environment. Okay, my blog, if I'm selling laptops, if I'm Hewlett-Packard or dealer, it's very simple. Very different from what you're saying. I talk about what laptops will do, the advantages, the pains in the butts with the batteries, but I can do this, you know, blah, 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 and you create an open forum about laptops. My agenda is totally self-serving to sell laptops, and it's not incongruent with what you're saying.
Right. But I think that's the point. What are you trying to achieve?
Yeah, I'm going to sell laptops.
Right. If you're Hewlett-Packard, you have a content rich, we know we can buy there, we can learn, we can talk to people, get help at 3 in the morning when things are crashing, etc. We're trying to build our business. But what I'm saying is that I think you have to decide what's in your best business interest. I agree with you that you're saying, well, people are talking about you anyway, don't you want to know? Well, there's lots of ways that, you know, you can email them, that you can call their 1-800. But the point is, what is the purpose of your business website? What is the purpose of your business strategy? And when someone who's never used Hewlett-Packard before comes on my Hewlett-Packard website, I want to put forward the message I'm trying to deliver. That's what every business does. I can't control everybody out there that prefers Dell or whatever, okay? But, you know, what do I want to do? And by definition, a blog is an open, objective forum that the reader who will respect the user, who respect the blogger, who respects that blog, believes it's open, that you're not editing it. Okay? And so what I'm saying is that when you make that decision to do that, you have enormous risk as a business strategy.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the thing, because there's really almost no real business blogs in this market in Savannah. And we all know we're kind of a less unsophisticated market than some yet, you know. There really are very few really
there
actual
There are
business.
A few out there, actually.
There are very, that's what I'm saying, there's very few. There are
there's very few nationwide. There's very few worldwide.
That's
relative to the number of businesses. And my
because it's not, that's what I'm trying to say, it's not in their best interest. They're concerned.
Well, and I disagree with you.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You can disagree.
Sure.
That's the beauty of blogging, is that you can have your opinion and everybody else can have theirs too. One other potential hazard of having comments and having a blog is that your competition may come in and sabotage you, try to torpedo you. That's a legitimate concern.
Yeah, but when that happens, the
opportunity.
I mean, every single situation doesn't really happen. It basically makes the competition look like complete assholes, which is a great thing for you.
Exactly.
You don't know who the blogger is. Wait a minute.
It doesn't matter.
The world of the blogosphere is you don't know who the blogger is. Or blogger. There's floggers.
Trace their IP address.
How many people know what a flogger is?
It's a fake blogger.
Okay, a flogger is someone paid. It's a big business now.
AstroTurfing.
Okay, exactly. Explain that and the integrity of
it. The point being is that if we have integrity,
I don't.
If we have a business that's worth representing in that format, the truth is going to come through.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
The truth travels so fast. The other thing is, also, you go back to blogging is about passion and knowledge. If you're not passionate and knowledgeable about your business, then you need to really think what the hell you're doing.
The point is the truth is going to come through out on other blogs. You're absolutely right. But as a business strategy, is it in your best interest to put it on your company's website and run a blog? That's what we're trying to talk about here.
Do you believe in transparency or not?
That's right. But the point is that a business, you know, everyone puts out marketing materials. They try to put out a marketing message about their company. And they're trying to control the message. They're trying to be concise in the message. The world of the blogging takes care of the problems. People share data. You're absolutely right. But is it in your best interest to put it on your business site? That's what we're trying to talk about in this. As far as business blogging,
because no one believes your canned messages. And so if you go to an open source system where you believe in transparency, then you're in a much better place to engage a customer.
Sure. Well, the point.
But if you try to control it too much, then nobody's going to believe that either.
Yeah, I don't trust
that. And the point that's already been made is that you've lost control of the conversation either way. You may as well have it on your website where you can watch it,
where you can at least influence the conversation. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, right? For business, it's about influence. You're trying to influence your customers to do business with you. And if you're blogging, you have more ability to influence that. And that's really kind of what I'm getting at here. And when we start looking at the benefits of having comments on your blogs, one, you've got the dialogue we're talking about. And that can be great. I mean, what if you have a customer that has a tremendous experience? And they put an unsolicited comment, hey, I was there, it was awesome. That looks good for your business, right? So we can look at the downside, but there's also a big upside. And that's something as a business person you've got to weigh out. Is the risk worth, or the reward worth the risk? And that's something that each in business has got to make this decision on their own.
Does it, to a considerable extent, depend upon the type of business?
That's a really good question. There are some businesses that are especially would benefit from blogging. There are some that maybe not so much. So I think, yes, the short answer is yes, in my opinion. I think most businesses could benefit from blogging, but there's some other factors that have to weigh in. Another benefit is that because of the interactability of the blog, it puts a human face on your business. All right? You're no longer just a sign in the storefront. There's actually a person behind that. People can see that person. Your personality is going to come through a little bit in your writing. And there's going to be a human side to the business, which is beneficial. Because people, who do they want to do business with? People want to do business with people they know, they like, and they trust. So as you're sharing your business through your blog, people are going to see more of you. And theoretically, they're going to get to know you a little better. They're going to get to hopefully like you. And then that builds that trust, which will give you advantages in the marketplace. Another thing about commenting is that comments keep people coming back. If somebody puts a comment on your blog, they're looking for dialogue. They want to see what you have to say. They want to see what everybody else has to say in response. Even the people who are going to sabotage you, potentially, they want to see what kind of anthill they kicked over. And that builds traffic over the long haul. As people are looking at, coming back to the same post over and over again to see what the comment thread has done.
One other point is that some of your best customers can be people who were pissed off at your business, and you address their concerns directly, and you win them over. And a blog is a good place to do that.
It's very true. Yeah. But as a business person, do you have the time to blog?
Yeah, that's
is it the best use of your time? Can we talk about that? The people's opinion about that versus so many other web strategies. What's your thought on that?
Let's talk about how much time it takes. First of all right.
As much time as you want. I mean, it could be 5 minutes or 6 hours. I think it's
really no more than just writing an email.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you're going to address the same issue and see what the comments are.
There is some more involved than just putting up the post. And you're right, there's some monitoring. Another thing you're going to want to do as a blogger is you're going to want to pay attention to what the competition's doing or what other people are saying in your niche, right? So if your blog is about yard care because you have a lawn business and you want to see what else is going on in the thing. So there's going to be some monitoring time that's involved as well. And how many of us as business people have gobs of free time?
Hmm. What's the setup time? I know nothing about it.
Setup's going to vary, and that's probably the most technical aspect of it, and that's something that you might want to consider if you're not a technical person, getting some assistance with. That's what I would think. You want to, because once you get set up, you can maintain it fairly easily, yeah?
Just addressing the time issue, kind of a thought that I have is this is a changing world. It's evolving, and the business that we do and the way we spend our time and allocate our time has to change. Saying I don't have time and ignoring it is going to hurt you and have you spending much more time and spending your wills crazily doing damage control because your competition either got in and started blogging and built a loyalty and took your customers away, or a customer that was upset spread the word and caused bad PR, and now you're spending your wheels trying to repair it. So when it comes to time, that's, to me, not an issue. There are consultants out there. There's a lot, and they're blowing and growing, saying, I understand you have this traditional business to take care of. Let me monitor some things for you. Let me help you out and build your friends for you, meaning roadmaps to people who are talking about your industry to connect you to. But to say I don't have time and then just ignoring it means on the back end you're going to spend so much time trying to rebuild your business again, because you have to embrace this is how it is now.
And that's a really good point, because it is a changing world, and we are getting more and more internet available, and it's just going to snowball on you. There are some things you can do to save your time. First of all, think about post-life. When I write on my blog, I am incredibly verbose. I write way too long. And not everybody, you know, somebody comes, looks at my blog and they say, no way, it ain't gonna happen. I don't have time for that. But your typical blog post is only gonna be, you know, 100 to 200 words, normally. And like you said, that's like writing a basic email. And the thing is, you don't have to get all of your information out in one post. You can do it slowly, gradually over time. This is the water drip method. This is not the fire hose. You know, this is a long-term strategy to build your business. It's not a quick fix for your internet problem. And that's something to keep in mind, is that your post lag for a business blog is probably going to be relatively short, which helps your time frame. Another thing you can also do is your post frequency. What do you think is the best post frequency for a blog as far as how often you do blog posts?
Depends what your goals are. The more the merrier, you know, but, you know, some of the greatest blogs out there might only have one a day or one every other day. It might be long. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Anderson from Wired, he writes really long posts, but he's bordering on genius, so you want to read that.
Mm-hmm. Another person who puts out long posts is a guy named Scott Adams. You probably know him because he's the guy who does the Dilbert cartoons. He's got a personal blog where he talks about all kinds of stuff. It's fascinating. The guy's brilliant.
He's also sick.
Yeah, he's got issues. We've all got issues.
His wife both said there's a guy who actually typed on a BlackBerry, so he went up and laid out four different ways he could kill him and dispose of the body without being caught.
Yeah. He's definitely entertaining. Anybody who can come up with that many cartoons, that, you know, I think of Gary Larson on the Far Side. I think he probably had some issues too. But it didn't stop me from reading his cartoons.
Jumping from the time standpoint, mm-hmm. It's like anything I think. You know, it depends upon the level of activity in the space you're dealing with. I mean, I've got some clients that they've got one person on staff that spends, you know, less than a half an hour a day doing this stuff. Then I've got one client that has 16 people doing what they call their social media analysts. 16 people that full-time jobs to do nothing but sort of review and respond to all the conversations going on about their business on the internet because of the nature of who they are. So it can take a half an hour a day. It can take a lot of people. It's just, you know, what type of time commitment you want to make. The other issue is, like, you know, one of the things you kept mentioning was age. You're like, okay, this person over here doesn't do this. I can't tell you how many times I deal with healthcare providers. When we deal with an elderly client that doesn't have a computer access, they come to sessions, they come to meetings with printouts of web pages and blogs because their kids print them out for them. So what happens is, you know, we're reaching an entire elderly group within diseases and different types of cancers because the kids are the ones that read it and they print it out and they give it to them. So just because the person's offline doesn't mean they're going to be impacted by the information that's going online. But ultimately, it's about knowing, you know, who your audience is and where their media sources they're tapping into. I mean, it's like you get a large percentage of people that, you know, they're not going to trust them. So whether it's you're involved in a social network, I mean, whether it's MySpace or Facebook, the organizations that are successful aren't the ones that are advertising on their services. They're the ones that are becoming parts of the community and actually offering benefit to that community. And if you're not willing to do that, then go ahead and step out there.
Exactly.
In business, you've always got to pay the bills. It's all about time, and time is money, and it's about, you know, what you can invest. And time, as she's saying, you know, and I agree with her that you know, in theory, we have to find the time to do the things to be competitive, but you also have to pay the bills. The other thing about blogging is that, you know, it's like if you look at WashingtonPost.com, what they define as blogs, and you go and you look at what their blogs are, and it's just posts by their editors. So they've just taken their stories and stuff, and they've like posted it in the blog. It's not really a dialogue of readers, you know. So I mean, I think that bloggers are very, very much aware of whether or not there's really a genuine conversation going on. And I think that's the big thing about business blogging is, you know, whether it's a genuine conversation or it's just you know, self, whether you call them floggers or, you know, our own staff, or, you know, whether we're paying somebody, and there are people you can pay, and in the next session, Jennifer Abshire is going to talk about that, but try to spread the word of your company out there around the world in the net, but that's theoretically not really a high-integrity methodology, you know. But the term, again, I say blog, like I say the Washington Post, you go and look at their blogs, it's just the staff, they're just reposting stories that are actually in the paper, and they're sticking them in the blogs, trying to gin up interest in conversation.
There's still some benefits to be received from doing that. Again, if you don't want to pay the risks or take the risks, you can back it down and still receive some benefits, but you don't get the full benefit.
But I don't think bloggers come back. I think someone made that comment. If it's not a good blog, you don't go back. If it doesn't feel honest and genuine, if it's not a real open dialogue.
But there are some highly successful blogs that have no comments. Mm-hmm. You know, Seth Godin, Mark, you know, he's one of the A-listers who doesn't have comments.
He doesn't have track backs.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to openly admit, I'm not a blogger. Yet. However, from a business standpoint, I think it's a, you know, and maybe it's not a true blog sometimes. If I'm looking for somebody in an industry and they have a website and a blog, you know, for example, when I was looking for a certain type of person to help my parents up in Wisconsin, I was looking at a certain business I was looking for. And whoever came up with more information, if they had a web and a blog, I had more meat from them as a business person to understand who they were. So I'm only speaking from the consumer part of it, from the business blogging. I don't speak from the blogger. It can be a tool, I would think, that you know, that would drive some of your business one way or the other, depending on all the comments.
Let's get ranked, at least.
Does that make sense? You know, somebody who doesn't search blogs.
It makes you more findable. Even with no comments, it makes you more findable because of the fact that you've got the multiple pages, because you've got the consistency, you've got the newness, potentially you've got the links, that when somebody does a search, you're more likely to come up.
So to drive traffic to your website.
And you can do it that way.
To drive traffic to your business website, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, she's also saying it makes you look as if you belong in the 21st century.
Well, yes. But as a consumer, in our case, it allowed us to see a little bit about the people that we were looking at to do business with and get informed, because we were trying to step out in an area, you know, dealing with aging parents was something we'd never done before. So we had to educate ourselves. People's blogs was a great way to get educated. Yeah. There are some time savers out there. I would say one really thing, most blogging software have a feature where you can pre-post, which means that if you have a block of time where you can set up and write several different posts, you can schedule them to show up and be published on your blog throughout the week, so that you don't have to do it every day. If your schedule is such that you don't have the ability to do it every single day, you can pre-post to get some of that done. Another thing you can do, if you're a business owner and you have employees, maybe there's somebody who's in your employ that already is blogging anyway, and they already understand a lot of this that you may not have so thoroughly mastered, and they may just be loving to sit there for 30 minutes out of their workday to blog. You know, I don't know. It depends on what your business is. Another thing to do is a team approach. If you have several employees, you can each have an author account so that all of you can be posting, so that not one person has to do it every single day. So there are different ways to build your business blog. You know, and of course, another alternative is to hire somebody, whether it's a consultant or an employee, and have that be the focus. That to me would be an extreme event. But there are some time-saving efforts or tools and techniques out there to help with the issue of time. But the bottom line question that we've been talking about is blogging right for your business, all right? What are some of the advantages we've talked about? Why bother blogging from a business perspective? What were you saying?
I said ease of use.
Okay, it's simple. And when? How does that relate to your business as far as what's the value for that from a blogging perspective?
Well, you don't have to have someone who's a web expert, you know. If you want to get information out there, you have to have someone who's a web expert to do it. You can do it yourself.
Exactly. Once you get set up, you can actually control some of the content and be able to make adjustments or changes or additions.
It can drive business to your website.
Absolutely.
Marketing tool.
It's a great marketing tool.
Is that a cheap focus group?
Let's call it inexpensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know who those people are.
As compared to, at least you're getting honest feedback and you know which issues to address.
Well, but you do. Like, if you have a true community out there, they're not something like they'll post, say, "Who are you? Tell us a little about yourself." You would not believe how quickly people open up. And you know, if they're doing, if they're providing this fake information, it's pretty damn good fake information because they're telling interesting stories. So it's
it's like the subject in marketing. Anyone that's involved in marketing, you know, you have anecdotal information. I walk down the street and one person says, "I love your newspaper." That is not marketing. It makes you feel good at the moment, but it has zero to do with what the market really feels about you. That's the problem with reacting, I think, too much to, because you don't really know who these people are. Tell me about you. They write a bio.
You know who they are? They're your customers.
Not necessarily. There can be your competitors posting things. I mean, that's what's going on in the world. We have to face the reality of business blogging for public relations strategies and competitive strategies is getting very, very sophisticated. It really began in the stock world, where people were going on to blogs at like, you know, and saying, you know, "God, you got to try this stock. It's really cool." And
how many spam emails do you get every day?
Well, less and less if you, depending on your spam filters.
Well, but you use filters on your.
Yeah, you use spam filters on your blog to control some of that too, and that is a hazard,
but
no doubt.
Yeah.
And it's a reality.
Yeah.
However, the reality also is that we can build that into a much bigger monster than it really actually is.
But going back to the advantages, that what you were saying was that by having a blog, you're increasing activity on your website, which increases your searchability position. I mean, that's one of your big points, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, great.
Another one is that it's building customer trust.
Okay.
All right? Because of the things we were talking about before, we talked about that. Are you going to say something?
Yeah, traditional marketing is a one-way channel. Here's our message, push it out. So, taking this next step, opening it up, having a dialogue, right? Isn't that what you want with your customers? Don't you want to let them talk back?
I mean, yeah, if you have a forum where you can get feedback from your customers, your potential customers, without having to pay for focus groups or, you know, do surveys, if it's an organic thing that's constantly there, is that beneficial for your business?
Yeah,
I would argue that
it almost doesn't matter what they say, because whether it's bad or not, because the concept is, I like your company better because you're willing to engage in dialogue.
Nice. We're living right
now. 40 years ago, I was a Rolls-Royce dealer, and I used to take full-page ads in Hemmings Motor News. And they were really, sitting here, I'm thinking, these were the original blogs. My customers knew all about my wife, they knew about my children, they lived through them being born. They remember the Rolls-Royce running in front of the emergency room while people hunted the person that left it there. Trips to England to buy cars and all these things. And even today, some of my old, and they are old now, some of my old customers still ask me about these children, and they remember these ads that I ran. Mm-hmm. And we said very little about the cars we had for sale. But we did sneak them in there.
Was it an effective marketing tool for your business?
Very effective. Yeah. Best one we ever had.
People become your friends. They feel like they know you. They have some kind
of
camaraderie without you even realizing.
They do.
I mean, look how involved people get with, Regis Philbin on television. I mean, and what's her name?
Kelly.
I don't watch it all the time, but I know how
you're involved.
I mean, the woman that used to be on there, everybody used to know her husband's name and all their kids and when they were born and blah, 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 and all that used to feed, and then, I mean, they're not selling anything, but they're selling the advertising that people buy, and then that's drawn to them. Exactly. So I definitely understand where you're totally right. That is kind of like a
Well, it's the non-blogging too. I mean, we've got a static website for a tour company, and the most popular page on it is Meet the Tootsies, where there are iconoclastic mini biographies of all the employees, and it's just a bit of personalization. I'm not sure we're ready to go to blogs, but
yes, sir. This reminds me a lot about using a newsletter as a PR tool. And the newsletter format works if it's both newsy and it sounds like a letter to a friend. And when you can combine both of those, you have a very, very powerful newsletter. If it's just about you, if it's mostly PR promotion going out, it's not going to be very effective. And you have to have that kind of feedback. I remember a Volvo dealer that I had done some work with, and he did a little quarterly newsletter. The newsletter was only about his personnel, the new things they were doing, and every time somebody became certified as a repair person, and then every time there was somebody who'd been there for a number of years, and you really got to know the inner workings of this company. And he was extraordinarily successful as a result. And I think that when you have this letter approach, particularly from a business side, because from a business side, you're more tempted to do some kind of flackery, and you have to really avoid that. You have to visualize in your mind, who is it that I'm trying to reach? And how am I going to, if I was going to write them a little note, because blogs have to be short, if I want to write them a little note, what's it going to say?
Exactly. Really quick, I just had a quick question. Mm-hmm. So what kind of content, I mean, if you're talking about publishing to a blog, business blog, you know, once or twice, I guess three or four times a week, what kind of content are you looking to put on there that, you know, to interact with your... customers? And
my advice on that is anything that, as a business owner, you're passionate about as it relates to your business. Whether it's your business practices, whether it's your products, whether it's offering education to inform your customers about what is of value and why they should be doing business with you. And just speak from your heart about your business. That's something that you should know better than anybody else.
Right.
So talk about your business and what you're passionate about, because that passion is what gets that enthusiasm and will help people.
It seems like it seems like that would, you know, get old pretty quickly.
Well, it's going to work getting old for you.
To speak to that point, though, I think what happens is that the market is so sophisticated now, so you can smell a sell a mile away. Okay. So if your blog starts to smell like, well, come to so-and-so because for all your black needs, then eventually it will get old. But if it's something like, if it's passion, then you will talk about everything that surrounds that passion, why you're passionate about it.
Because if you actually engage the customer, you're going to find over half the phone calls that Nestle gets from their customer support line is people wanting to share recipes and ideas. It's not complaints. So, you know, if you've got a community out there, they want to take ownership of your business in the sense they want to help you succeed if you have a great business. So they're going to give you great content ideas. So if you have a successful blog, I mean, a lot of stuff we've done from a corporate standpoint, once you get the ball rolling, the overwhelming majority of content that's posted on a corporate or business blog comes from the community. It comes from the users. And it's either, you know, them providing commentary or you taking a riff on whatever they're talking about.
How do people define the difference between blogging and what he was just saying and just emailing to that company and then getting feedback back and answering your questions? Which is a primary strategy that people use to come. I mean, how do you define the difference?
Do you see the public nature of it?
Well, do you feel that blogging is out there to AOL?
You get a bunch of people that can learn and see. And I mean, because the vast majority of your readers are never going to make a comment, or rarely make a comment.
And the vast majority of your comments are going to come from a small number of your readers.
Would you cover real quick that one line you have on there, is what businesses are best?
Absolutely. I was trying to get to that. These are, if you're a professional, your business will definitely benefit from a blog. And by professionals, I'm talking about people like lawyers, if you're a specialist doctor, an accountant, a chiropractor, a real estate agent, if you're a consultant, a banking, mortgage broker, a financial advisor, if you have a business that requires an educational type selling situation where you've got to inform your people, a blog is a great format to assist with that. If you offer services, if you're a photographer, auto mechanic, cleaner, yard care, it doesn't matter. If you offer services, you want to be able to tell people about them, and you need a way to market, a blog is going to be an effective tool. Tourism, obviously, hotels, restaurants, attractions, tour package providers, travel agents, again, anything where you're trying to attract people from outside and tell them about what you do. In the entertainment business, if you have a club, if you're involved in a show, a restaurant, movie houses, theaters, symphonies, music, artists, anything like that, a blog can be a helpful tool. If you're in retail, if you have a specialty store, how are people going to hear about it? What are they going to know what's in your store? The store name may not be enough to tell what's in there. A blog can help. If you have a gift shop, clothing store, candy shop, car dealerships, anything where there's a trust relationship required for the business transaction, a blog can be beneficial. And again, I'm not here to say that it's the only way. I'm not here to say that it replaces anything else. My attitude is that it can supplement, and it's a very cost-effective way to reach a large number of people and really help your business. Some special situations, if your business has a poor reputation in town, you want to fix it, a blog can be a useful tool. If you don't want to fix it, don't blog, okay? I'm serious, because of all those reasons we talked about. Because you're going to have a transparency, and that transparency will build trust if you really genuinely want to fix it. If you're a new business, a blog can be a very cost-effective part of your marketing package. You get a large return on your investment. It isn't necessarily in sales dollars, but it is in customer awareness, okay? If you're a struggling business and you're cash strapped, you can't afford a large marketing push, but you need to generate some awareness, a blog can be useful to you. And I think we're out of time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Interested in podcasting? Want to mingle with other podcasters or learn how to get started yourself? Then mark your calendar for PodCamp Atlanta, happening March 16th through 18th at Emory University. For more information and to add yourself to the registration list, visit podcampatlanta.com. And by the way, it's free.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on magnitude.com. Thanks for listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of UnConcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.